We shall turn now to the portion of the Word of God that we read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and we shall read from verse 32 just now. Luke 24, verse 32. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" You will see in the context that these are the words of the disciples when they are aware that the Savior, who has been physically present, has now departed from them, and they appear now to be left alone. We read in verse 31, "Their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." And no doubt, if we had been present on this occasion, we would have felt like the disciples, because all of a sudden, those times of pleasure and enjoyment seemed to suddenly come to an end. They are saying, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, while he opened to us the scriptures, and now he has suddenly disappeared? Where do we go from here? What happens now that he's gone? We're left." But you see, when we understand what they were really saying, then we can appreciate how much they had actually learned and profited from their experience. And it would be good, as we enter this new year, none of us knowing at all what a day will bring forth, none of us able to predict the future, no knowing who will see the year through in the providence of God. We know not what events await any one of us, or any family, or in any individual, or the congregation. But we know this much, that we have the Word of God left among us, and if we appreciate that Word as we ought, then we will be truly singing from the heart, as we were previously with the psalmist. "This word of thine, my comfort is," that's how it should be. "This word of thine, my comfort is in mine affliction. For in my straits," see, the poor people of God do have times when they don't know where to turn. They are in great straits. They don't know where they're going, and they're feeling perhaps like poor Job. And Job was crying out in his distress, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." That was all that concerned him. "Oh, that I knew where I could find him." But he knew this much: "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Whatever else I don't know, I know this much: my Redeemer is alive. And when he has tried me, he shall bring me forth as gold. He knoweth the way that I take. How blessed that truly is. He knoweth. There's nothing he doesn't know. There are many things you and I don't know, but that's for certain. There's nothing he doesn't know. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's what Peter learned. The trial of our faith is precious. The trials in the Christian's experience are very precious. They're never to be despised. They're never to be rejected. We are never to complain about them. We are to receive them as intended by the Lord to improve us spiritually. When he hath tried me, Job doesn't think there'll be nothing of me left. He doesn't think I shall be worse than ever, but I shall be as the gold. I shall have greatly improved. And you see, the children of God do face trials and tribulations and great straits at times. But then they have this word of thine. This word of thine. You will have presidents and the queen and so on, and they address the nation. And they try to encourage their people, and they predict improved future and so on. But how blessed is when the head of the church addresses his dear people, when he speaks to them regarding the future and the days before them. And this is the effect, surely, when he does speak. It ought to be. When we hear his voice, the beginning of the year, how should it affect us? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And for just a little, we would desire to meditate upon these words, first of all, considering who they are, who are saying this. Did not our heart burn within us? Who they are, whose hearts are so aflame and burning with such desire and delight. And then secondly, what it is that causes their hearts to burn within them. And then thirdly, the effect that the burning heart has. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed," and so on. First of all, then, let us consider who these are. Did not our heart burn within us? This was a very real experience. The heart aflame, the heart ignited, as it were, as though it has been kindled to life and the past has been replaced with this blessed heart-burning experience. But who are they? Well, we go back in the chapter and we find there are two on the way to Emmaus. And they were traveling around 7 to 8 miles, although it says here furlongs, miles would be 7 to 8 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they talked together of these things which had happened. Things which had happened that they couldn't understand. Things that had happened that were mysterious, but things that happened that affected them. And the things that had happened seemed to dash all their hopes. It seemed their little world just collapsed. And we're told that they were sad, and they walked together and shared their sorrow. They opened up and they were trying to share their experiences, and one was sad and the other was sad, and their whole world, it seemed, was just filled with gloom. There seemed to be no rays of sunshine, no light. He said unto them, that is Jesus, in verse 17, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one with another, as ye walk and are sad?" If we didn't go anywhere else in the chapter, these very words ought to be instructive. The Savior joined these two men. They walked together and they talked of the things that had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And what does he ask them? What manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sat? You see, the Savior was interested in their conversation with each other. He drew near and he was conscious, he was aware, they're talking about things, and whatever the subject, they are very sad and filled with sorrow. But he expresses an interest in their conversation. And it would be good for us, every one of us, if we were aware of this when we converse, when we talk, that the Savior is interested in what we talk about. Oh, if we were conscious of that, how much more careful we would be. How much we would be praying again and again like the psalmist, set, Lord, a watch before my mouth, keep of my lips the door, incline my heart not unto the ills I should abhor. Jesus was interested in their conversation. And I tell you, he's interested in the conversation of his people. And he was interested here. And he asked them what it was that they were talking about. If he came and asked you and I, would we be embarrassed? Would we feel ashamed that we would be talking about things that do not edify and things that are worthless and vain and empty, maybe even soul-destroying? But Jesus was interested and he drew near to them. Then he rebuked them when he discovered what they were talking about and how ignorant they really were. They were of the mind they were of, and they were in the state they were in because of ignorance of the Scriptures. They didn't understand the meaning of Scripture. And thus they had built a hope on a false interpretation of the Scripture. Jesus asked them what things they were talking about, and then when they made him aware, they were talking about what had happened to Jesus of Nazareth. And they were thinking he must be a stranger to the events here, that he doesn't know, because everyone knows and everyone's speaking about them. We trust it. In verse 21, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We really trusted. We put all our faith in this Jesus of Nazareth. It seems now we've been living with a misplaced faith. The hope that we had has perished. We're now so shocked and disappointed, we hardly know what to believe anymore. We don't know where to go, because our hope has been dashed. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And certain women have come and they tell us the tomb is empty. They tell us that they have met messengers who said that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is risen. We're in such utter confusion. We don't know what to believe. We don't know really what has happened. Our world is completely upside down. Our poor minds are in a state of utter chaos. That was the condition they were in, who were eventually saying, did not our heart burn within us? This was their original condition. Their hearts certainly weren't burning. Their heads might have been burning in utter confusion. Sometimes the Lord's poor people find themselves just like that. And yet, you see, because the one who drew near to them had been spoken of by the prophets, and he refers to this himself. What did the prophets say of him? He was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The man of sorrows. What a description. The one who's acquainted with grief. There's none who can understand sorrow as he understands it. And there's none can fathom grief as he does. What a companion then to draw near to them. What a moment it was in their world that was filled with confusion, when they were in such depths of sorrow and despair and ignorance and confusion. He who knew they were sorrowful, he didn't turn away and think to himself, I've suffered enough in these past days. I have felt the wrath of God poured down upon me. I have gone through depths that no creature has ever, ever, ever gone through. I have had such depths of sorrow, I cannot be acquainted with any more. No, he is the friend of such. And he drew near to them, because he is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. No child of God will ever experience any degree of sorrow in any circumstances that he will not understand. And no poor, afflicted child of God will ever experience any form or kind of grief that he won't understand. He's been in the depths of it all. And he drew near to them. What a blessed companion in their streets. Then he began to open to them the scriptures. And he, in verse 25, said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Well, what have they just said to the Savior? We trust it. We trust it. And he's saying to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe. See the danger of a false hope, or a hope built on a false interpretation of the Word of God. You see the difference it makes. The same scriptures, but misunderstanding leads to great sorrow and grief. Whereas a full understanding and light upon the truth changes everything. Did not our hearts burn? Our previous understanding, or rather misunderstanding of the scriptures, have left us in darkness and grief and sorrow and sadness. But now that we do understand the scriptures, what a difference it makes. Our hearts are now burning within us because of the light we now possess. You see how important it is that we would constantly pray, give understanding unto me. Give understanding unto me. Because when we come to the Word of God, it is the Word of God. And we do not have the capacity to understand it if left to ourselves. The natural man, he does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And we need spiritual mindedness, and we need to be taught of the Lord. And then beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And you can detect already there's a change taking place in the experience and in the spirit of these men. They drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. They were so enjoying the word. They were relishing it. The word was having such an effect that they wanted more of it. And they said to the Savior, even though they're still ignorant of who he is, he still has not made known to them who he is. As far as they're concerned, he's just a stranger. Maybe he's a rabbi. But he's been able to expound to them the scriptures, and that's what has mattered. That's what has changed everything. It isn't merely the presence of the Savior, because they don't know who he is. But it is the opening up of the scriptures that have changed the situation. And my dear friends, the scriptures of truth affect every one of us one way or another. And it is vitally important that we know the Word of God, that we feed our minds and our souls upon it, that we live by it, for man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from out of the mouth of the Lord. We may read through the scriptures and we may think to ourselves, well, this is a very important, fundamental portion of truth. I need to understand it. But here is something, and it doesn't appear to be so relevant. It doesn't seem to be so fundamental in what it has to teach. Every word of God, the words of the Lord, are words most pure. Now, either something is pure or it's not pure. But the words of the Lord are words most pure. It's as though they could not be more pure. They are the purest words in the universe. How have they been purified? They are as the words of the Lord are words most pure. They be like silver tried in earthen furnace seven times. Seven is the number of completion and perfection. They have been perfectly tested, perfectly tried, so that they are absolutely perfectly reliable. That's the words of the Lord. Not just some words, but all His words. There's nothing insignificant in the Word of God. There's no portion, no verse, no word that we can afford to neglect. And here the great lesson is this. As we come to it, these men were just men like you and I. They were affected. by events in their lives. And they couldn't understand what has happened. Their hopes are dashed. Their world is in chaos. Until this stranger draws near. And he opens to them the scriptures. And the scriptures make the difference. My dear friend, in the year that lies before us, will the Word of God make any difference in your life and in mine? Will we find comfort in the Word of God, consolation, hope? Will we find that the Word of God changes the situation again and again? The psalmist says, "This word of thine, my comfort is. For in my straits I am revived by this, thy word alone." There's no substitute for the Word of God. The Word of God alone. The Word of God won't comfort us, what will? If it will not guide us and counsel us, where are we going to turn? Now here, they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us. Continue with us to open up the scriptures." And then it was when he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened and they knew him. Now it's important that we see the sequence of events and we understand them. The great emphasis is upon the power of the scriptures. Wasn't because it was Jesus in the sense that he was present and they were so grateful. The tomb is empty. This is him. This is our Savior. This is Jesus. They didn't even know it was him. All they knew is this. The scriptures are being opened to us. And it is making such a difference. They said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Tremendous influence of the Word of God upon them. Our hearts were burning as we heard and as we understood. Their eyes were opened, they knew him. And maybe at that moment they thought, "Well, isn't this amazing?" Then he vanished out of their sight, and he left them with the scriptures. Because, you see, he was teaching them, and he was instructing them. In verse 45, later on, when the Savior comes to be in company of his disciples, we read in verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." Then opened he their understanding. He'd done it before, and he does it again. You will see that in the context, he shows the disciples his hands and his feet as the evidence that it was really him. But then, in verse 44, he said unto them, "These are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding. And no doubt their hearts began to burn again as he opened, because that had been the effect previously. Our hearts burn because of the power of the Word and the effect of the Scriptures upon us when we understand them. Now it is, therefore, something that we must inquire about and examine ourselves about. We may read the Scriptures and never experience the heart burning. We may hear the Scriptures and know nothing of the heart being affected by them. You see, we must understand them. And it was when the disciples understood that instead of the things that have happened being, as it were, shattering our world and destroying our hope, if we had understood the Scriptures as we ought, we would be rejoicing. We would be blessing God that He has been faithful, that He has been true to His Word. He has brought to pass what He promised He would do. He promised a Messiah, He has sent a Messiah. He promised a Redeemer, He has given a Redeemer. He has promised the forgiveness of sins through the atonement made by the Lamb that God would provide. He has done it all. He opened the Scriptures concerning Himself. And their hearts began to burn, because now they really knew who their Savior was. They really knew that He had made an atonement for them. The Scriptures took them to the Savior. And even though He was present and they didn't know, yet it was the Scriptures, they found Him in the Scriptures. And that was the comfort, not His physical presence, but discovering Him in the Scriptures. You see, many people imagine to themselves, well, how wonderful. You know, I hope no one will misunderstand me, but personally, I'm not a great fan of trips to Jerusalem to see the Holy Land, as it is called. One of the reasons I hear people so often, they will say, well, it was so wonderful to walk where Jesus walked, and to stand in those places where my Savior stood, and so on. And it's as though these experiences bring me near to Him, or bring Him near to me. Now that may be so in the experience of many, but I do not covet their enthusiasm or their experience, or any blessings that they receive from such an experience. Because the Savior was teaching His disciples, when you find Christ in the Scriptures, the heart will burn. That's where you find Him. It's not His physical presence that you seek after. Find Him in the Scriptures, and your heart will burn. The Savior of the Scriptures. And they were saying, our hearts burned while He opened to us the Scriptures, while He talked, while He opened. Because when He opened, when the door of divine truth was opened, we entered by faith. And where did they take us to? They took us to the Savior Himself. Now, my dear friends, the year that lies before us in the will of God, will the Scriptures take us anywhere? Will the Scriptures be a guide to us? Will we take up the Word of God as a lamp to our feet, as a light unto our path? Will we take the Word of God to be our sure guide, to be our counselor, to lead us in the way that is right? And if we do, where will the Scriptures take us to? They will take us to Himself. They will reveal more of Him. They will make Him more precious to us. They will reveal the glories of the Son of God in our nature. And we will be able to say, as the Holy Spirit opens the Scriptures to us, yea, He is altogether lovely. He is altogether lovely. There is no blemish in Him. This is my beloved. This is my friend. How blessed a beginning to any new year to begin with Christ. Setting out in the road of uncertainty with Him. Setting out, taking the Scriptures and Christ in them to guide us on our way to the eternal world. Our hearts burning, they were saying, because He talked with us by the way, and He opened to us the Scriptures. Now what effect did this opening of the Scriptures, this burning of heart, what effect did it have? Well, it made these men as though they were like new men. The Savior is gone. Do they sink back into sadness? Do they think to themselves, what a disappointment. We were so enjoying this. And now He's gone and left us. He left their hearts aflame under the influence and power of His truth. And verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. You see, they'd left. They were on their way to Emmaus. And the things that had been distressing and disappointing, it was as though we just want to get away from those things. They returned to Jerusalem, where all these things had happened. But they returned as different men. The very place that was the source of all their disappointment is now the very source of all their joy. Didn't they say to the Savior in their ignorance of who He was, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And it's the things that have come to pass here in Jerusalem that are the source of our distress. But now, you see, the world has changed. And the place and the events that had been the source of their distress are now the source of their joy and their gladness, and their hearts are burning because of what has happened. They understand the meaning of the Scriptures. They understand now the fulfillment of the Scriptures. They now appreciate what God has purposed, and now they go to Jerusalem as different men. And what do we read? They found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how He was known unto them in the breaking of bread. The very same hour, they didn't waste any time. Our hearts are burning and we're going to go to our brethren, because they're as mystified as us. And we're going to break the good news to them. And we're going to tell them what now we understand. Our hearts burn. And when the heart burns, it becomes a blessing and a source of blessing to others. My, if we talk more about the Scriptures than we do, our conversations would be much more edifying. because they understood, they wanted others to understand. And because their hearts were aflame, then the fire, as it were, began to spread. And they went to their brethren with burning hearts to tell them what they had experienced. Perhaps the reason why we talk so little and our conversation is based so little upon the Scriptures is maybe an indication of the lack of effect upon us. Our hearts not burning because we don't have a relish for the Scriptures. We don't desire, as these said, they constrained him. They said, abide with us. This is such a pleasure. This is such a blessed experience. Conversation around the truth. The Word of God opening up to us. It is such a blessing, such a pleasure. The world, the poor, lost, ungodly, they go seeking the pleasures of sin for a season. They turn to the cisterns of worldly pleasure that can hold no water. But for the gracious soul, there's no pleasure like the pleasure of meeting Christ himself in the Scriptures. And may that be our desire as we enter this year, that we might understand more of the Word of God, that we might feed our minds and our souls more upon the Scriptures. The Savior was teaching his disciples at this point to rely upon the Word of God, that their hope was to be not merely in his person, but in the Scriptures themselves. He might be physically absent from them, but they would still find him near in the Scriptures. My dear friends, looking back in the year that has passed, how many times have we read the Word of God and the heart didn't burn? We would have to acknowledge that, wouldn't we? It was just like a formality. We didn't want to end the day with a conscience troubling us, so we read the Scriptures. We wanted to maintain some kind of order and discipline in the family, so we read the Scriptures at family worship. But what effect did they have upon us? Our hearts burned, these were saying, because the Scriptures were opened up and we got an entrance into them and we saw the One who is the Savior of sinners, and we saw the One whom God sent, and we saw the One who made an atonement. And instead of defeat, we saw the glorious triumph and the glorious victory of the Redeemer who died the just for the unjust. Oh, that God would open our eyes then, the days that are before us in His will, that we would see more of the Savior, that we would see more of Him that will make Him precious to us, that we will see more of Him, that it will inflame love in our hearts for Him and for the Scriptures. Do you and I go from the courts of God's house and say, perhaps, well, that was interesting. The minister said some interesting things today. And perhaps you might look back and think, well, I've heard him say this and that and the other, and I haven't forgotten. How many times have you gone from the house of God and say, my heart burns now because I've seen the Savior in the Scriptures, my Savior. I've seen my Savior. And I love Him because He first loved me. May that be our desire, to see more of Christ in the Scriptures and to have our hearts and our lives affected by a proper understanding of the Scriptures of truth. May bless His word. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank Thee that we have the Scriptures. Heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot or tittle of Thy blessed word shall pass away until all shall be fulfilled. O, grant us everyone, young and old alike, an appetite for Thy word. Make Thy word alive to us. Make it precious to us. O, do Thou open it up to us. Lead us into it, that we might see the One who is the hope of His people, the One who is their righteousness, the One who is their all in all, without whom they know they can do nothing, but the One, as the Apostle said, through Him they can do all things. Oh, bless us, we pray, everyone, with a desire to feed our minds and to feed our souls upon Thy truth. Go before us then, graciously pardon us, and all for Christ's sake. Amen.